Check us out today. The daily links at ussportspages.com.
Orlando's police chief displeased with the prosecutor's decision not to seek the death penalty against accused cop killer Markeith Lloyd. Police Chief John Mina saying in a statement that he is, quote, extremely upset that State Attorney Aramis Ayala will not be seeking the death penalty. He continued, the heinous crimes that he committed in our community are the very reason we have the death penalty. Lloyd is charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder in the case for killing his ex-girlfriend who was pregnant, as well as Orlando Police Lieutenant Deborah Clayton.
I've had my fill after 7.5 years of National Weather Service, to tell you the truth.
It seems a storm is brewing between the National Weather Service and New Jersey's Republican Governor Chris Christie, criticizing the National Weather Service, saying they exaggerated and overhyped Tuesday's blizzard.
You know, it was a big underperformer.
A former meteorologist from the National Weather Service fired back at Christie by email, saying he should remember the outstanding service it provided during Superstorm Sandy. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Housing values nationwide have risen by more than 6% year over year. Quicken Loans has smart ways to help you take advantage of your home's rising equity. In fact, you could take cash out to consolidate debt. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.18%, APR 4.35%. Call 800-QUICKEN today or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
The GOP health care plan will need some changes if it's going to pass. That's the word from House Speaker Paul Ryan, who acknowledges again today that it will have to undergo what he calls necessary improvements and refinements before it would be approved by Congress. He's telling House Republicans any revisions will incorporate their feedback. That follows an appearance by President Trump at a rally in Nashville last night designed to drum up support for the plan, where he seemed to allude to what Ryan's been saying.
Everybody's going to get into the room and we're going to get it done.
A little science and a little good luck leads to a New Jersey woman being reunited with her long-lost dog. As we hear from Mark Mayfield.
Tanya Flowers of Jersey City says her Maltese named Paris skipped out of her apartment in September. Flowers posted flyers hoping someone had seen Paris and would bring the pup back. But then a week ago, she got the call that changed everything. A Staten Island, New York shelter called Flowers, telling her they had Paris. The little dog had been found walking the tough New York streets. Using information from a chip implanted in Paris, Home Again Pet Recovery Services reunited Paris with Flowers.
16 games on the schedule today in the NCAA tourney now that its field of 64 is set. Last night, UC Davis and USC won play-in games. The action begins at 12:15 Eastern time today when Notre Dame takes on Princeton in the West Regional in Buffalo. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimos Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Get to a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's program, I'll be talking about why today begins a period when businesses across the United States will lose $2.8 billion. I'll discuss if email marketing is right for your business, why sporting goods stores are down for the count. I'll have 3 ways to keep up with the competition and why you should consider using Facebook Live to keep in touch with your customers. It's Thursday, March 16th, 2017. I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I'll be taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But before we do, as always, we check the weather. A brief check of the weather shows that it's currently 31 degrees at 12:06. The forecast shows that today will be breezy and cold with periods of sunshine, a high of 34 and a low of 17. For tomorrow, we'll have sun early, then clouds, chilly temperatures with a high of 40 degrees. Tomorrow night, we'll have an increase in clouds moving into the area with a bit of snow and accumulations of possibly up to 1 inch. And for Saturday, we're going to have intermittent snow and rain with a high of 41 degrees. Saturday night, we'll have more snow with a total accumulation of 1 to 2 inches. And for Sunday, it'll be partly cloudy with a high of 45 and a low of 25.
Taking care of business, every way we be. Taking care of business, it's all right. Taking care of business, working overtime.
And a current check of the financial markets shows that the Dow is currently down 33.74 to 20,916.36. The NASDAQ is down 4.24 to 5895.83. S&P 500 down 5.11 to 2380.15. Oil is down 7 cents to $48.79 per gallon. And gold up $26.90 to $1,227.60 an ounce. Facebook viewers, you are now up to date. Now listen to the rest of the show on www.hunterdonchamberradio.com. All right, well, time to get into the program now, and as always, you know, we kind of recap what happened during the past week, and I wasn't here last Thursday, so I got caught by surprise in that I had jury duty. No surprise there. I knew I had it. Just never thought they would pick me, and then sure enough, they did. So here's how it went down. Of course, that's the theme music to Law and Order. So I did get selected for jury duty, and I kept pushing it off. It was hanging on the refrigerator. Just didn't want to deal with it, and I was a little pissed off leading into going into jury duty. The first day, I got the phone, the text that I didn't have to show up. On Tuesday, I'm one of the first 60 people that they select to bring upstairs to meet with the judge. And sure enough, my number is called as one of the first 12. And then I have to sit through as we get questioned on whether or not we'd be a good juror. And eventually, everybody, it seemed like myself and one other woman were the only two originals that were picked that made it to actually have to sit on the trial. So we had to sit through the whole trial. I will tell you that the defendant, if he's guilty of anything, he's guilty of being stupid. I'm not sure if that's an actual offense, but if it were, I know a lot of people who'd be in jail right now. The first day, defense attorney insults my intelligence, insults all of our intelligence, you know, trying to describe a vacant building as being an abandoned building, and certainly anything inside was free for the taking. So that got him off on the wrong foot, stayed impartial throughout. And then when we got into jury deliberations, it seemed like my fellow jurors thought that they were wearing black robes and they were ready to issue the sentence. I'm like, that's not why we're here. We're just here to determine guilt or innocence. So eventually we did find that the defendant was guilty. I am glad that I served. After all that, the angst that I had going into it, not wanting to do it, I'm actually glad that I did serve and would look forward to doing it again if selected. And you know, I'm not saying that it's something I want to make a hobby of, but certainly had a good experience. I think I look at all of our crime shows like Law and Order and others a little differently now that I've actually sat in the jury box. But it'll be fun to watch them now having that firsthand knowledge. Well, in the news leading up to the show, you heard that Governor Christie's a little upset with the National Weather Service for, again, overhyping a blizzard. Last time I was on the air after a storm, I said I was mad at Al Roker because, again, a ton of hype,
for 6 or 7 inches of snow. Now in Bridgewater, as you watch where I live, as you watch the storm progress, it was, we're going to get 18 to 20. It started out at like 6 inches, then it was 9, then it was 12, 12 to 15, 12 to 18. All of a sudden it's 18 to 24. Now my wife doesn't get it, but I love that kind of challenge. I love getting outside with the snow thrower, throwing on the jacket, the gloves, the hat, and going out there, man versus nature, man versus machine, and clearing out my driveway. I do two of my neighbors' driveways, and I just enjoy the heck out of it. If you're going to make me take a day off, let me be having fun. And sure enough, we get like 7 or 8 or 11. Enough. It's not even worth my time getting up in the morning for that kind of stuff. So I echo Governor Christie's sentiments with the National Weather Service, with all these different radars and Doppler this and NORAD that, and you know the new one from Channel 4, which is based at Rutgers. Somebody's got to be able to get this right. Tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day, so I believe the Roman Catholic Church has offered special dispensations to its parishioners. You will be allowed to eat meat. They're assuming that you would want to eat corned beef and cabbage. So you do have that blessing from the Pope. So it is St. Patrick's Day. And as they say in Ireland, Erin go brath or Erin go brathless, whichever she prefers. I don't care. Today it begins. Now, in the teaser to today's show was that today begins a period for about the next 2 weeks when businesses in America will start to lose $2.8 billion, with a B, dollars. And so when I sent that out on my preview of the show this morning out on Facebook and LinkedIn, people were like, what? Why is my business going to lose $2.8 billion? This is the day that starts the NCAA tournament. It kicks off today at noon. And so just a few minutes ago, the first games will tip off in about 15 minutes. And so what they find is that people today and tomorrow in particular will head to their favorite restaurants, the sports bars, things like that, and take a little bit longer for lunch because they want to watch the first couple of games. And then they have the game streaming on their computers in their offices, and they're all checking their basketball bracket pools and things like that. So when they measure how much business is lost, that $2.8 billion, it's as in lost productivity. Now, if you're an assembly line worker, obviously you're not going to have these breaks. But if you're an office worker and you can tell the boss, hey, I'll be back around 2, well, you've just lost an hour of productivity. And when you add that up across the country, sure enough, you know, it adds up real quick to about $2.8 billion. We're trying a new thing here, at Taking Care of Business, and that is we want to get more Facebook page likes and followers for the show so that we can keep you up to date midweek. So if you wouldn't mind, since you're listening through a computer right now, if you can open up your browser and go to Facebook and search Taking Care of Business with Jim Gonneau, and like and follow that page. And you're going to get show updates every week as far as what I'll be discussing. And very often, if news breaks midweek that affects business, I'll post it there as well. And then we'll follow it up with a story during the regularly scheduled broadcast. So again, I'll post it there first. So again, go to Facebook right now, search Taking Care of Business with Jim Gonneau, and like and follow that page for more updates both on the program and on any news that breaks during the week. I thought of a new feature that I do want to incorporate into the program, and that is going to be our business quote of the week. Every week moving forward, I'm going to select a great quote that I think pertains to business or personal development, and I'll read that to you here at this particular time before we jump into the program. And then you can tell me what you think on our Facebook page. And this week's quote comes from my buddy Larry Wingate. Now, he posted this the other day, and I really liked it because in my business and in life, and even on jury duty last week, it seems as if people were making a ton of excuses. I have a slogan. It's my theme in business. No excuses, no exceptions. I'll accept a reason. I don't want excuses. You know, why wasn't this done? And somebody gives me an excuse. I don't want to hear that. I want to be looking for solutions. So Larry came up with a quote, and it says, "If you would spend as much time finding a solution as you do an excuse, your problems would be solved much quicker." How true is that? So, again, this week's business quote from Larry Wingate: if you would spend as much time finding a solution as you do an excuse, your problems would be solved that much quicker. Love that. Think about that and let me know what you think on our Facebook page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gannot. Let me know what you think and if you think it's applicable either to you or people that you work with, because I think a lot of times people do spend more time thinking about how to, you know, make everything sound nice and package it all up for the boss as far as what went wrong versus what can we do to make it right. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100andchamberradio.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about, is email marketing right for your business? We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning 100 on 100andchamberradio.com. Like what you hear on 100 and Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our 100 and Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the 100andchamberradio.com app today.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is Inner Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100andchamberradio.com. So glad you could join us as we get together every Thursday at this time and we're not interrupted with jury duty and the like. I do want to say I have a major problem. I'm not sure if there's a rehab facility for this, but it appears as if my dealer has gone out of business. And maybe she's found the light and she's trying to run the straight and narrow now. Trying to become an honest person, but I have a serious issue in that my friend, whose daughter is a Girl Scout, I have not gotten the text from her yet to say, hey, I'm selling Girl Scout cookies. How many can I put you down for? So I'm going through trefoil withdrawal. It's a very serious condition, and I am starting to get the shakes. And, I mean, it could be that Paige, you know, my favorite Girl Scout, is sitting there saying, Mr. Gannot, you need to lose a little weight. You don't need any more trefoils. But I was hoping that I'd be able to make that decision and not a high school age Girl Scout. So, you know, Paige, I understand, you know, you're looking out for me, but, you know, I do need my Girl Scout cookie trefoils. So I tried the Thin Mints. They didn't make me any thinner, so I'm giving up on them. We're going to go with trefoils. Email marketing. This is something that, as I've been working with a new store owner in the Crown franchise system, we've been talking about a lot, and he's very eager to get started. And I'm like, sometimes you have to put pull the reins in just a little bit, and because you can market all you want, but if you don't have something to sell, what the heck are you doing? And there's a lot of factors that go into how I want to create his email marketing program, because he's going to be taking over an existing store. So I kind of want to let people know that the original owner is leaving, have him introduce the new owner, and then from there, the new owner can start with their marketing campaign. But a lot of businesses, you'll find, aren't using any form of email marketing, and it's really a powerful tool, and very often it's just about free when you add it all up. So the question now is email marketing right for your business? Now, as I mentioned, it is a powerful tool for making sales and retaining customers, but most small business owners are missing out. So the question here is, does your small business use email to connect with your customers? And if you don't, well, you're not alone, because only 8% of small business owners rely on email marketing to generate leads and retain existing customers, according to a recent Manta poll. And that means the majority of small companies are missing out on a great opportunity to encourage sales. Now, email marketing can do a lot for small businesses, says Megan Robinson, who's the email marketing specialist at the marketing agency At Revenue. Email marketing, when done well, can help businesses turn leads into sales and build customer loyalty. Email messages should be about more than sending simple pitches or promotional specials. Although the end goal is to improve sales, email marketing isn't only about the bottom line, said Robinson. Your email strategy, like any effective sales plan, should be diverse. Some messages, such as promotions, are specifically designed to drive sales, said Robinson. Others, such as newsletters, have other important functions. Soft sell emails are about building, nurturing, and sustaining trust with your customers. From home service providers to tax accountants, many different types of small businesses can use email to build stronger relationships with their customers. Email marketing can be used for just about any industry, said Lisa Marino, who's the email manager for AccuData Digital Marketing Agency. You just need the right mix of audience, message, and reputable deployment platform. Email platforms like Emma, MailChimp, and Constant Contact offer free and low-cost plans. These are ideal for companies just starting to use email marketing. Me personally, I use Constant Contact with emails going out to about 6,000 recipients. It costs me about $90 per month. Experts recommend you aim for those targeted before you hit send. So to do that, you want to first engage your customers. The more engagement with your business, the more customers will connect with it. The deeper that connection, the more likely they are to purchase, said Robinson. As you're planning your emails, make sure your messages aren't simply promotional. Sure, it's good to let customer know about sales, but it's also important to send messages that are purely informational or useful to them. Pull out the big guns in your subject lines. You can't nurture relationships through emails if your customers don't open them. Stick with short subject lines and convey the content of your message in a way that will stand out in inboxes. Third, don't expect fast sales. And this is the one that people in small business seem to get upset with the most. So don't expect fast sales or to reach your goals through email only. You must deploy multiple emails to increase engagement, said Marino. You can't expect big results from one email alone. Similarly, you cannot expect you won't generate strong relationships solely by emailing customers. So try combining channels. Build on your email campaign with Facebook posts, search ads, and other proven digital marketing tactics. Use social media post functions in Constant Contact to link your email to a Facebook, LinkedIn, or other social media platform. This way, even if there's people that aren't on your email distribution list, they'll see what you're up to. So as I was talking with James, the gentleman who's going to be buying this new store, I talked to him, and when I first started email marketing about 6 years ago, we had a town hall meeting with some of the Crown stores, and the Crown corporate folks thought it was a great idea. So they asked me to talk about it, and they said, and the first question, which I knew was going to come, was, does this result in immediate sales? And I said, no, and I don't want it to. And they were like, what? Why would you even do it then? And I said, all I want to do is create that front-of-mind presence so that you may not need a trophy today. You may not need a custom-imprinted T-shirt. You may not need a sign for your business or a promotional item or even a varsity jacket, all the things that we sell at Crown Trophy. But what I want to do is create that impression so that as you receive these newsletters, as you learn a little bit more about me and a little bit more about our business, then I'm hoping that when you do need something like apparel, like a sign, like promotional items to help your business grow, you'll call me first. And that's what I'm trying to accomplish with the email newsletters. Very rarely do I put a product up and say, this is now on sale, it's $19.95, or whatever the case may be. I very rarely talk product as much as I do talk solutions that I've provided for some of our customers. Occasionally a new product will come out, I'll get very excited about it, and I'll either do a video or a promo on it. But very rarely am I pushing a sale of any kind. But my customers feel that they know me. You know, they know my children. They know any struggles that we've gone through. They know, you know, when Superstorm Sandy hit and the roof was torn off the building, you know, they understood if we were going to be late with a delivery or something like that, or if we just couldn't take on more work at that particular time. How do we do that? By staying in contact with them through email marketing. All right, so now that we've emailed the customers, we have to find out what do they want? What do customers really want? And there's basically three easy ways to find out. You don't have to spend a ton of money on market research. You can check out free ways to learn about your customers and then put the results to work for you. Now, every successful marketing strategy is built on the same foundation, giving customers what they want. But how do you know what customers want? Well, that's very simple. You have to ask them. So where and when and how should you ask for your customers' feedback? Now, big companies spend millions of dollars on this kind of market research. But with a little time investment, getting feedback on your small business can be easy and cheap if you look for opportunities to ask customers what they think. The first place is in social media. Asking for feedback on your social accounts is as simple as posting a question. On Twitter, you can add a multiple choice poll to your tweet by clicking the Add Poll button. You get a nice visual display of the results, but be warned, this is visible to all of your followers. Facebook doesn't have a built-in polling function, but you can ask followers to use different emojis, love, wow, sad, angry, to respond to your questions. You can also use surveys. You can formalize the feedback process with free online survey tools like SurveyMonkey or SurveyPlanet. If you use a multiple choice format, such as a satisfaction scale of 1 to 5, you can quantify the results, an average satisfaction score, or a percentage of customers who are satisfied. And following these results over time will show how your business is performing. And finally, comment cards. We've all seen these at restaurants. Paper cards dropped in a comment box have the benefit of being anonymous. Customers may give blunt feedback they wouldn't want to say to your face. If you visit customers' homes, leave behind a postage paid comment postcard or create a digital version with a comment submission form on your website. So again, great advice on how to get customer feedback, and a lot of times all you have to do is ask. You know, how many times has somebody come into your business and said to you, "Boy, you guys are great. I really love working with you." Ask them why. Find out what it is about what you're doing, what your staff is doing, that makes them want to keep coming back to you and not to your competition. And speaking of your competition, let's talk about ways to keep up with competition. Now, I've told the story here on the program several times about one of our store owners who can list for me his 8 competitors within to the tenth of a mile from his store within about a 10-mile radius. And I've always said to him that I would love to be in his territory. And he said, "Why? I have 8 competitors. You have virtually none." And I said, "Because if all of your competitors are doing $300,000 in business and I can steal just 10% of that, that means because there's 8 competitors and they're all doing $300,000, that's $2.4 million. If I could steal 10% of that, I've increased my business by $240,000. And you can bet with my marketing and my work ethic, I'm going to go for more than 10%. He just didn't seem to want to work that hard. But you have to learn how to maintain your small business's competitive edge when keeping up with the competition. And I have 3 actionable tips that you can take. And keep in mind, running your own business requires laser-like internal focus. But looking up and out is also crucial to success. How do you stack up against the competition? Who else is wooing your customers? And if you use these action-packed tips, you might get a leg up. The first, and I love this the best, is you have to do your research. So get a group of several associates, maybe close friends, relatives, even some of your employees, to visit the competition, either your brick-and-mortar competition or online. Wander around and see if it's easy to find what you're looking for. See if the prices feel reasonable to you. Are you competitive? Says Jennifer Martin of Zest Business Consulting. Interact with a sales or customer service rep. How was your experience? What worked and what didn't work well? And then afterward, compare notes and discuss amongst you. 2, you want to connect. Follow industry leaders on social media, said Robin Graham, who's the founder of QCanvasPrints.com. Join relevant LinkedIn communities. This is a must. It is a great way to stay on top of industry trends and also to network with thought leaders and change makers. Other ideas include signing up for Google Alerts, attend trade shows and conferences, and join business-minded civic groups in your city. Now, when signing up for Google Alerts, a lot of people do that for themselves. It's also a good idea if you sign up for Google Alerts on your competition. This way it drops right into your email feed. And so if something is said about XYZ company, which is a competitor of yours, you know what's going on. Maybe they're introducing a new product. Maybe they've hired a new sales rep. You'll know. And then finally, ask your customers. Client follow-up always includes, what else would you like to see? What else could we have done? What do you wish could happen in the future? Sometimes we are so close to the experience that we miss the obvious needs of our clients, especially the repeat clients, which can often articulate exactly what they would love to see more or less of, said Deborah Catler-Kupitz, who is the founder and CEO of DKK Events in Los Angeles. And finally, take the high road. Don't play in the mud. Don't jump into the cesspool with your competition. Just because your competition is saying something negative about you or your product doesn't mean that you should participate, said Kelly Lampkin, who's the regional sales manager at NetSuite Oracle. Customers are turned off by a presentation focused on the flaws of a competitor instead of the strengths of your own product. Your customer would rather buy, and you would rather win on your strengths versus your competitor's flaws, so sell that way. You're listening to Taking Care of Business. We're going to step away for a quick news break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how to use Facebook Live to connect with new audiences. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A judge has just blocked our executive order on travel.
President Trump speaking at a Nashville rally last night about a Hawaii federal judge's ruling that his executive order concerning travel to the U.S. from six Middle Eastern nations still discriminates based on religion. Now a second federal judge, this one in Maryland, has issued a similar ruling. Here's Doug Parrish.
U.S. District Judge Theodore Schwong issued his opinion early this morning suggesting that President Trump's executive order was the realization of a, quote, long-envisioned Muslim ban. The president's executive order was already restrained because of a ruling out of Hawaii on Wednesday. The ruling out of Maryland suspends the portion of the order that keeps citizens of those six countries from being issued visas.
At that rally, the president suggested he'd fight it as high as the U.S. Supreme Court. This is USA Radio News.
And now, Jonathan Cahn opens up today's mystery from the Book of Mysteries.
In the Book of Mysteries, the teacher shows the disciple an ancient painting of two winged creatures and a glowing sword. When God drove man from paradise, he set up cherubim and a flaming sword to guard the way back in. The cherubim were the manifestation of the separation between man and God, and the beginning of every other separation we experience in our life, every loss, every barrier to God, to heaven, to peace, to blessing, to joy. When Messiah died, the veil of the temple was torn in two, but it wasn't just a veil. On the veil were images of the cherubim, the ancient barrier. Messiah was passing through the barrier, the cherubim, and the flaming sword. And he could only do that by dying. And by wiping away that barrier, he was nullifying every barrier and separation in your life. The cherubim have been moved away, the way is open, and you can come home.
What you just heard comes from the Book of Mysteries. Get it online or wherever books are sold and at mysteriesbook.com. That's mysteriesbook.com.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us. A check of the weather as we come up on the half-hour break. Today it'll be breezy and cold with periods of sunshine, a high of 34, a low of 17, currently 31 degrees. For tomorrow we're going to have sun early and then clouds. Chilly temperatures move in, a high of only 40 degrees. Tomorrow night we'll have increasing clouds and a bit of snow, accumulations of up to an inch. For Saturday, we'll have intermittent snow and rain with a high of 41 degrees Saturday night. We'll have more snow, total accumulation 1 to 2 inches. And for Sunday, it'll be partly cloudy with a high of 45 and a low of 25. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, as I am every week with you, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. And a whole lot going on here in town with the Cust Redevelopment Project. Lots to talk about on that, but I do want to assemble more facts before we move into a lively discussion on that. But what I do want to talk about when we talk about lively is Facebook Live. Now, people who've been listening to the show for some time, people who follow me on Facebook, know that I always do the intro to the show on Facebook Live, and then I post it. It's a way for me to connect with more people. And since we've started doing this, The listenership in the program has gone way up. So Facebook Live lets small business owners connect with current and potential customers in a unique and personal way. And sometimes you do have to get out of your own way when working with Facebook Live. Now, we all have a network comprised of people both near and far in our immediate circle. Small business owners strive to find creative ways to connect with everyone within that network, between social media updates, emails, phone calls, and in-person meetings. I use all those methods to stay in touch with our circle of clients, friends, and acquaintances, but I've also been having fun with a new communication tool called Facebook Live. I open the show with it every week, and a couple of listeners have asked if they can use that in their business as well, and the answer, very simply, is yes. Now, as the next generation sets out on their own, they embrace any new technology-based opportunity to connect, and you should keep up with current and potential clients, and Facebook Live allows you to do that in a unique and personal way. With a short learning curve, anyone with a little tech savvy can figure it out and take advantage. Now, I'm sharing a few ways that I've used Facebook Live to connect with you or to connect with a new audience of potential customers for my trophy business, and I hope you can use this as insight to jumpstart your own adventure by using Facebook Live to grow your business. You want to connect with new clients, and I found that Facebook Live is similar to my experience with Snapchat in terms of connecting with new and potential customers. I use both platforms to document new products or things happening at the store. And so far, we've experimented with live video to promote new products. It worked out really well when we came up with our embroidered sports balls, footballs, and basketballs. Got a great response from people who could finally see the product up close on their computer screen. You also want to connect with people in your extended circle. Now, because many of our friends follow our Facebook page, Facebook Live gives us a chance to engage with the people that we're connected with but rarely talk to. Think about your old college friends that you've become friends with, our high school friends. Facebook favors its live video platform and will shoot a notification to all of your friends as soon as you go live. It's a subtle yet effective way of staying front of mind in your sphere. It's also a more personal way to stay in touch and keep our friends aware of what we're up to without an in-your-face message or call. The best part is that we know our friends are tuning in and loving what they're seeing. The other day, I got a text from a friend on the West Coast that said something along the lines of, "I've been loving your Facebook Live videos. You guys are killing it." Now, while this particular interaction with a friend isn't likely to turn into a sale, part of being a successful business owner is making sure that everyone in your circle knows what you do. You never know whom they'll talk to or who might ask them for recommendations for the services that you offer. If they regularly see what you do, you'll be more likely to be the person or business that they suggest. You want to also show dedication to your work. Putting ourselves out there by broadcasting live videos is an opportunity to show that we know our industry. It gives buyers and sellers the chance to see that we're always learning and exploring, and most importantly, it shows all our viewers that we're actively working, which demonstrates our success and work ethic in a casual way. Even if their reaction is as simple as, "Wow, they're delivering more trophies today," it looks impressive to those who are following along. Facebook Live can be used for many businesses, from retail to restaurants. Imagine a chef holding up a new dinner dish or the special of the evening. Might be enough to make you want to go to dinner that night. It's an easy way to encourage engagement on Facebook while connecting with potential clients and reminding people within your extended circle about what you do. Give it a try and see if it works for your business like it has for mine. And hopefully you'll report back to me and let me know. It's very simple to do. Probably the best way to get started is go to Google and just type in Facebook Live or how to Facebook Live. All you literally have to do is hold your phone like a selfie or have one of your employees hold it. Walk around your business. Maybe if you're a clothing store, you want to hold up a new blouse or outfit that's recently come in. Hold that up. Go live. Minute to minute and a half is all you really need. And then tell them about the new product and why you think that would be an interesting thing that they may want to come into your store for. So, again, try Facebook Live. Let me know what you think, and let me know if you think it can work in your business. I'd particularly like to hear if any restaurateurs try it with some of their specials. Again, it takes a minute to record. You hit the post now button. Out it goes into the internet, and then who knows? You could increase your billings and your reservations by doing something like that. All right, I had an email from a customer, from a client of mine, saying that sales are starting to flatten out, almost starting to nosedive, and they wanted to know how can they fix this phenomenon, if you will. So if you're having a hard time making sales, you want to take the actions necessary to reverse declining sales, and you want to do it now. Every business experiences sales fluctuations from time to time. Maybe you're a ski shop in the summertime or simply in a lull between marketing campaigns. But when sales take an unexpected nosedive, it's important not to stick your head in the sand and hope things eventually level off. A sudden plunge is usually for a reason. If you can diagnose the problem, you can usually fix it or at least mitigate it, saving you lost business and sleep. So here are some common causes. If you've stopped actively marketing, if a long-running pay-per-click campaign or email campaign has successfully resulted in significant sales, you might feel the hurt when it ends. It helps to plan ahead to ensure that you can avoid major gaps in marketing, SEM, and ad campaigns. If there's a flaw with your product, your service, or your staff, if sales of a particular product or service dip sharply, it could indicate a lapse in quality or a problem with a particular staff member. Inspect these offerings carefully to look for any malfunctions or problems. Consider generating a customer satisfaction survey via email or social media to get a more specific diagnosis, and be sure to carefully monitor social media and customer service channels for complaints or feedback. Now, what happens if you have a batch of bad reviews? Let's go back to the restaurant example. If a restaurant in a busy area suddenly loses its lunch rush, or a hotel can't seem to fill the capacity during a peak season, head online to review your most recent online reviews on sites like Facebook, Google, and Yelp. A few bad reviews can scare away customers, and it's important to address any negative experiences, ideally, before they post the review online. So make good efforts or apologies even after the fact that could result in an amended review or better word of mouth for you. Maybe you've moved, a new location, or hours, or traffic detours. This is the situation that we're running into with our store in Long Island. The previous owner moved about 7 or 8 weeks ago, but never told their customers that they were moving. They moved 2 or 3 miles down the road. There's already a new tenant in the old space, so we can't put up any signage saying we're moving or we've moved. And really, he's basically told his customers, up yours, I'm just moving. So when we looked at the sales, my projection is that sales will dip in half. Some customers are really going to want to find where the store went. Others will go somewhere else. Now I've hired someone to come in and take a look at the whole sales database so that we can do an email marketing campaign and do a big splash. We've moved. We have to include it in all of the emails that go out and educate people that they're still in business. So if you recently moved, only to find your customers didn't move with you, or if you've changed your days or hours of operation, even a nearby detour, road construction like we're having on the Flemington Circle, can majorly impact your foot traffic. And as Donald Trump would say, it could happen bigly. Be sure your customers can find you by announcing any major changes or updates early and often on your website, business directory listings, and social media. Also, what happens when new competition moves into town? Is the new business in town suddenly stealing your most valuable customers? If a dip in business coincides with a product launch or grand opening of a competitor, assess what your customers see in the competition, and then adapt your business model to stay competitive. Focus on your key benefits and differentiators. This may mean that increasing your marketing efforts or offering special sales to remain visible until the novelty of visiting the new place wears off. Any changes you make to your website, did you recently overhaul your website or e-commerce offerings? Check with your most trusted customers and an SEO expert, if possible, to figure out what's not working for your customers. Slow load times, broken links, dense, long copy, and e-commerce screens with long, complex, or clunky checkouts are all commonly to blame. Broader environmental, economic, or trend factors can also weigh in on this. Sometimes the downward shift may be as simple as a change in the weather. An HVAC contractor may experience a slow autumn if temperatures hover above yearly norms. You won't sell many umbrellas if it never rains. Similarly, if your sales are tied to trends, say if you sell a lot of Pokemon Go-related items, you may see business dry up rather suddenly when the crowd moves on to the next big thing. So make sure that you know what's happening and why the reasons are that your sales are nosediving, and then address them as quickly as possible. All right, we're coming up on our next break, and when I come back, we're going to talk about why sporting goods stores are going down for the count. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com.
Hi, I'm Chip Peters of Wakehead Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Dundee, Ali's trainer right next to me is saying it. You may hear him. Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory eight count, and Foreman is as poised as can be in a neutral corner.
Well, there you have it. That was the call when George Foreman knocked down Joe Frazier, and this went back into the 70s. But so why would I pay that clip? Well, it's real simple, actually. What's happening now is, in retail anyway, is this phenomenon, and it happens. It's somewhat cyclical sometimes, but it can happen, and it seemed to hit one particular sector very hard, and that is the sporting goods industry. And what we're finding is that now there's a rash of sporting goods stores that are going out of business or being sold, merged, etc. The scourge of insolvency is sweeping through the sporting goods sector as online sellers gain the upper hand over yet another corner of retail that just recently was dominated by big box chains, specialty stores, and mom and pop shops. Yet another general sporting goods retailer, MC Sports, filed for bankruptcy in February with plans to liquidate its 68 stores as the fallout accelerates. The demise of MC Sports, which is based in Grand Rapids, Michigan, will eliminate 1,300 jobs in seven Midwestern states. And it was at least the 10th bankruptcy of a sports retailer with more than $10 million in liabilities in the last 18 months, according to bankruptcy research source Reorg First Day. Others have included Sports Authority, which was here in Flemington. The nation's second largest sports retail chain liquidated in 2016, closing more than 400 locations. Golfsmith recently closed. They filed for bankruptcy protection in September, closing two-thirds of their stores, including the one in Bridgewater, and then selling the remaining ones. Sports Chalet, the 47-store chain based in Southern California, shut down last year after 57 years. Eastern Outfitters, the company that owns discount chains Bob's Stores and outdoor retailer Eastern Mountain Sports, filed for bankruptcy protection in February. Total Hockey, the specialty retailer, sought bankruptcy protection in July and sold itself to TSG Enterprises, whose brands include Pure Hockey. Now, some of the biggest losers have been sporting goods chains that offer broad assortments, from canoes to croquet sets. Online sellers are undercutting store-based retailers on price and options, and some specialty retailers are luring customers away with upscale items. The marketplace for broad-spectrum sporting goods is very, very limited now, said Larry Perkins, who's the CEO and interim management firm Sierra Constellation Partners, whose clients include struggling retailers. Sporting goods retailers are really in the center of the bullseye. Amid the ruin, some see opportunity. Dick's Sporting Goods, the dominant remaining chain, is capitalizing on the fallout. It acquired dozens of stores from its bankrupt competitors, including converting 22 Sports Authority locations into its own stores. Dick's also purchased Sports Authority's intellectual property, including its website, which now redirects you to Dick's. The strategy of expanding as others contracts looks like it might work. Now, while Dick's reported a fiscal fourth quarter decline in profit Tuesday of $90.2 million compared to $129 million for the same quarter last year, it said the reduction was based on special items. Most encouraging was that sales of stores open at least a year, a key industry measure, rose 5%, and that Dick's plans to open 43 new stores this year. It has been operating 676 Dick's stores in 47 states, 74 Golf Galaxy stores in 29, and 27 Field & Stream stores in 13 states. In 2016, we capitalized on opportunities in the marketplace and further solidified our leadership position by enhancing the shopping experience in our stores, said CEO Ed Stack in a statement. After the demise of Sports Authority left Dick's as the only national big box retail sports chain, several analysts drew comparisons to Best Buy's emergence as the last remaining major national electronics retailer following the 2009 liquidation of Circuit City. Not counting chains focused on outdoor wilderness sports like hunting and fishing, the second largest general chain is now Modell's Sporting Goods, which has some 150 stores in the Northeast. But all of the remaining players, including Dick's, face challenges. For example, the emergence of specialty retailers selling athleisure wear, such as Lululemon, present a threat to the bottom line. Meanwhile, contraction in the popularity of golf has undermined sporting goods chains that once relied on a steady clip of sales of golf balls, shoes, and clubs. To some extent, the sector's problems mirror the broader retail industry troubles. About 14% of retailers tracked by Moody's Investor Services qualified as distressed in February, reaching the highest point since the Great Recession. Physical store sales for companies in the sporting goods, hobby store, book, and music sectors tumbled 6.9% during the 2016 holiday shopping season, while online sales jumped 19%, according to payment technology company First Data, which has a data analytics arm. Unlike online sellers, stores have to pay for often costly leases, which hampers their ability to keep prices low. What we found is just that the customer will come back when you offer the right discount, said Michael McGrail, Chief Operating Officer of Tiger Capital Group, which is jointly handling the MC Sports liquidation sale along with Great American Group. I think their day-in, day-out shopping habits have changed, and they don't come into the stores as often. So it looks like Dick's is going to be a survivor. And, you know, we saw that Effinger's Sporting Goods, which a lot of people have gone to over the years in Bound Brook, also closed back in December. And I think what they said there was unique in that the stores that are doing everything from canoes to croquet sets are the ones hurt the most. Rather than being a specialty store like a Cabela's or a Bass Pro Shops, when you're loaded up and have too much inventory and are in too many sectors, that seems to be a problem. All right. Don't you wish you could read your customers' minds and know exactly what they want? Well, we can't. We can't read their minds, but there is a marketing trick that can be just as effective. Now, you have to know, you have to use what you know about your customers' behavior to get business in front of them on their smartphones, and it's possible targeting what they call micro moments. Now, what if you could sense exactly when a customer was nearby and ready to buy exactly what you're selling? Now, you don't need to be a psychic to read your customers' minds. You just need to start thinking in micro moments. What are micro moments? Well, Google coined the term to describe how customers use their smartphone to instantly search for the products and services they want, find out which businesses sell what they're looking for, and to buy those things right away, either online or by going to a nearby business. Now, the recent Valentine's Day is a great example of how local brick-and-mortar shops can cash in on shoppers' micro moments. Let's say you forgot about Valentine's Day until your drive home from work. What's the first thing you do? You pick up your smartphone and you start searching. First, you search for roses or flowers because you're on a mobile device. And Google suggests local flower shops in the same geographic location as your smartphone. The same thing will happen when you search for chocolates. And again, when you search romantic dinner for two. And which businesses are most likely to get your last-minute Valentine's Day business? The shops that use their location and targeted search marketing terms in their SEO and paid digital ads. To reach shoppers during these kinds of micro moments, small businesses should consider budgeting for small Google AdWords or a Bing ad advertising campaign that are tailored to the intent of the user, recommends Yasmin Salama, who's an account manager for Matoza, a digital marketing firm in Austin, Texas. But convincing customers to buy from you in those micro moments is about more than paid search ads with the right keywords. You need to learn the triggers that will make customers find you and then reach for their wallets. First, you have to update your business listings, especially on Google My Business. List your business name, address, phone number, and the description consistently on your website and business listing sites like Google My Business. It will make a world of difference, said Kenneth Burke, who's a marketing director for business texting service TextRequest. This tells Google you're a legitimate business, which helps them push more people to your website. If it's easier for people to find you, it's more likely that they'll buy from you. You want to show customers how great your products or services are with digital content. The biggest way for businesses to stand out is to be there regularly with engaging content, said Chris DeGenars of Long Drive Digital Marketing Agency. Use photos and videos on your website and social media to show searchers the merchandise. Use your location to your advantage. Use the geolocation tools in your Google My Business profile, in your Google AdWords, and in your Facebook ads. This will allow search engines to match your location info to the geolocation data of smartphone users, helping your business stand out when they search for your products or services when nearby. And you want to make it easier for customers to buy from you. And this is as simple as including a click-to-call button on your website and in your search and social ads. If you sell your products online, make it easy for smartphone users to purchase directly from your website. And most importantly, make sure your hours and address are accurate everywhere that you're listed online. So hopefully those tips will help you as well as you are trying to reach people when they're close. It's called geotagging. It's a great feature. And again, I was watching a documentary over the weekend about Steve Jobs. And one of the things that came up in the documentary, which I had always kind of used as my own rationale, is that Jobs created entire sectors. You know, nobody knew that they needed an iPod until he created it. And then everybody had to have an iPod. Nobody knew they needed an iPad or a tablet until he created it. And then suddenly everybody had a tablet. And so it goes without saying that, you know, sometimes how you market, you know, creating need, creating want and desire, if this is the coolest thing. If you have a clothing store and you have the hottest trending either material or style or something like that, you need to get it out there far and wide, way before your competition does. In my particular industry, the trophy industry, I call it somewhat incestuous, because if one supplier comes out with a product, every other supplier will have that exact same thing, maybe with a different name, maybe a different size, within 6 to 9 months. And as such, it really takes away from the creativity a little bit in the industry to know that, you know, everybody's got it, so to speak. All right, time to take a look at sports, brought to you by Crown Trophy of Flemington. In the NCAA men's basketball tournament, it started at noon today, and throughout the tournament, it is estimated the businesses will lose $2.8 billion of productivity from their employees checking in on the games. Gonzaga, Villanova, North Carolina, and Kansas are your number one seeds. Good luck, everybody, in your bracket pools. My pick, Villanova, with a repeat. In NASCAR news, New Jersey's own Martin Truex Jr. won last week's race in Las Vegas, and this week the teams will travel to Phoenix for the second week of a three-week West Coast swing for the Camping World 500, starting at 3:30 p.m. In other NASCAR news, Joe Gibbs, Roger Penske, and the late Davey Allison, Bobby Labonte, and Red Farmer have been named to the list of nominees for induction into the NASCAR Hall of Fame. The nominees join 15 other eligible people on the list, with voting scheduled for May 24th. Interesting tidbit. Little trivia for you in NBA news. The New Jersey, or whatever they're called now, the Brooklyn Nets, have not won back-to-back games all season. Look it up. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice that I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better. And your better is best." If you have if you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. Taking care of business and working overtime for help.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for